I would like to offer my sincere gratitude to all of you for so kindly coming to dedicate this time to hear the message of Lord Sri Krishna. The most important need within the world today. I place before you repeatedly, with all humbleness, that this movement is very, very essential. Not only at this time, but for all times. Especially in this age of Kali. Kali Yuga is a time of disagreement and quarrel, where people have so many of their own opinions and are prepared to fight. This age of Kali is a time when the general populace thoroughly identify themselves with this body and their designations. And therefore, there is so much duality. We are thinking, I am Indian, I am American, I am European, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Christian, I am black or white, male or female. These are all temporary designations. The spirit soul is essentially pure, because the spirit soul is part and parcel of the supreme soul. But just as water, when it falls from a cloud, is transparent and clean, but when it comes in contact with the earth, it becomes contaminated through various levels of mixture of mud. And then its transparent natural quality can no longer be appreciated. In the same way, the pure spirit soul, the jivatma, when it comes in contact with this material nature, it becomes clouded by the mud of the three modes of nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Sattva, guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna. And then our natural, blissful, godly qualities are forgotten. And we identify with these bodies and the various demands of these bodies. And then there is so much desire based on the false ego and quarrel. This is my friend and this is my enemy. The spirit soul passes through 8,400,000 species of life. We should understand scientifically how this process takes place. Krishna tells us in Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram. That whatever our consciousness is at the time of death, that state we will attain without fail. Pasamsi Jinani Yathavihaya Navani Krinati Naroparani. These material bodies are like various types of dress that the soul temporarily wears for some time. And we get the type of dress that we are willing to pay for. Just like if you pay a very high price, you can get very, very costly clothes. If you're not willing to pay the proper price, you may have no clothes or very cheap clothes. So similarly, if we pay the price of tapasya and perform good karma, act in the mode of goodness, to that degree of our good karma, we will purchase, according to the laws of nature, a very good body in our next life. And if we engage in sinful activities, then we will purchase a body that will cause much suffering in our next life. So in this way, various people in various species and in various particular predicaments are simply getting what they paid the price for in previous lives. There is another example that air is in its natural form very pure. But according to what it associates with, it takes a particular aroma. If air travels past a rose garden, the aroma is very, very sweet. It carries that aroma with it. If the air goes along the railroad tracks, which people in India often use for their sanitational purposes or as toilets, latrines, then the air will take on the quality of that aroma. It will carry it. In the same way, according to our activities and the modes of material nature that we associate with, this pure soul is carried to a particular disposition and a particular species and form of life. But Krishna tells us in Gita, Aham Bija Pratapita, that he is the seed-giving father of all living beings. But he gives us our free will. If you pay the price, you can become a king. If you're not willing to pay the right price, you may become a dog. But within this material existence, whether you are a king or whether you are a dog, you must die. Because these are all temporary designations. After traveling through 8 million species of life, we finally come to the human form of life, the most precious, rare, and blessed opportunity. Intelligence means to understand clearly what this human form is meant for. It is not meant simply for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and trying to solve material problems with material solutions. Because all the lower species of life are doing that in their own way, and some do it far better than us. A bird can fly better than us. A pigeon can enjoy sex life better than us. An elephant can enjoy eating more than us. Human form of life is meant for self-realization. But Maya, the illusory energy, she is bewildering us. I will give an example. The spirit soul, birth after birth after birth, is like a bird locked within a cage. The cage of the modes of material nature with various desires, various fears. And Maya keeps us tightly locked in that cage. And she gives us some food in the form of sensual enjoyment and mental satisfaction. And somehow or other, locked in that cage, bereft of our true freedom, the lower species are simply trying to enjoy that little bit of food that Maya is giving. But what is this human form of life? The human form of the life is the time when Maya Devi herself, by the arrangement of Lord Sri Krishna, she opens up the door to the cage. And the bird has the opportunity to get out of this imprisonment forever and fly into the free world of its natural environment. But she keeps giving that same kind of food that we've been enjoying through 8 million species of life. She may put some special spices in it that are attractive to this human body. But it's the same food. Punash, puna punas charvata charvananam. Chewing that which has already been chewed. But the door's open. We've waited 8 million species of life. Now the door's open. The bird can escape the cage once and for all. But we're not willing to leave. We're still trying to enjoy the same types of pleasures. And we remain encaged within material existence. And what is the result of that encagement? Adi Atma, Adi Daivaka, Adi Bhotaka. The threefold miseries. Miseries of the body and mind. Miseries created by other living beings and miseries caused by natural disturbances. Dukalaya Mashashvatam. Because everything is temporary. Under the encagement of material existence, we have to die. Every living body within this world is subject to 6 transformations. We are born, we grow, we have some duration, we may produce some offspring, and then we dwindle, old age, disease, and death. Why, unanimously, no one wants to die? The insignificant insect will fight to preserve its life. and every caste, every nationality, every race, every religion. Human beings are trying to somehow or other sustain their lives. They do not want death. They fear death. Why? There are two reasons. Two reasons that we fear death. One is because during the duration of time in this particular body, we develop so many attachments. Attachments to the objects of the senses. Attachment to the senses that provide pleasure by coming in contact with those objects. We become attached to our homes, to our wealth, to our position and prestige. We become attached to our family members and our loved ones. And death means losing everything. The second reason is the soul is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Satchidananda. Therefore, the idea of death is a totally foreign principle. It's utterly unnatural for the soul to identify with death. But when we identify with this body due to being trapped like a bird by the cage of Maya, the body and the mind is all in all. And death is the end of everything. How superficial. How humiliating for the eternal soul to identify with this bag made of mucus, bile, and air, and trying to enjoy in this predicament. But death must come. Sure is death. But we have this human form of life. Durlabhaman avajanma lobhya samsare. So rare. So precious. Krishna has opened the door. And he descends again and again and again. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. To invite us, come out of the cage of this miseries of material existence. Enter into the eternal natural home of my abode. Be free. And he sends his prophets, his sons, his intimate associates and devotees to tell us, wake up, wake up. Come out of this cage. But Maya keeps feeding us that food. No. Who are these people telling me to give this up? And we refuse to come out. We're not willing to come out. According to the Vedic scriptures, this is the greatest misfortune in all of universal creation. To attain this human form of life and not endeavor for self-realization, but to live simply like the dogs and the hogs trying to enjoy these bodies and minds. There are two paths of religion that are predominantly followed in the world we live. There is Pravritti Marg, Nivritti Marg. Pravritti Marg means we follow certain ethical, moral codes for the purpose of attaining better karma and their subsequent results. Because as ye sow, so shall ye reap. Whatever action we perform, there will be an equal reaction. So by trying to live more in the mode of goodness, by being charitable, by being self-controlled, by performing various pujas to God or to the devatas, the demigods, we can earn, we can pay the price by which in this life there will be more prosperity and happiness, and in future lives we can attain even the heavenly abodes. But Krishna warns us in Bhagavad Gita, Abramabu banaloka punar avatanor jana mamu petya tukontya punar janmana vidyate. If by your good work you even attain the highest planets of Brahmaloka, what to speak of Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka? Still, they are temporary places. Death must come. So they're essential places of misery. Dukalayam ashashvatam. The eternal soul can never be satisfied with any temporary arrangement because it will be lost. To the degree we enjoy that situation, we become attached. And to the degree we are attached, when it's lost, we suffer. So those who have more intelligence, they take to nivritti marga, the path of renunciation. That all these arrangements within the dualities of material existence are causes of frustration. Therefore, let me make my life zero. No desires. No more forms or bodies to live in. No more ambitions. Annihilate my personality. And through the process of discriminatory knowledge and renunciation of all sense pleasures, I will annihilate my identity and enter into the impersonal experience of the absolute truth. But Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita that through either of these two paths, we cannot find the inner satisfaction that we long for. Krishna, in one verse of Gita, teaches us what is the goal and how to attain it in such simple terms. Philosophy is very important for intelligent people to somehow or other convince their minds of what is the truth and how to attain it. But actually, the truth is very simple when the Supreme Absolute Truth speaks it himself. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhradam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richchati. Krishna says, those who are in full conscious of me, full consciousness of me, they know me to be the supreme enjoyer of everything. Now those who are on the path of pravritti marg, they are trying to follow religious process in order to be a better enjoyer. But it is an illusion, because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He is the ultimate enjoyer of everything. So we become frustrated trying to enjoy someone else's property.
Why?
Because even in this relative world we live in, if we try to enjoy someone else's property, then what do we become? We are a thief. And a thief must be punished by the laws of nature. So then we want to renounce everything. I do not want to enjoy anything. But Krishna explains, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. I am the supreme proprietor of everything that exists in all planets, in all universes, in all creation. So if Krishna is the proprietor of everything, what do you have to renounce? You can only renounce something when you have it. So this conception of renunciation is pretending. We are pretending we own something and therefore we could renounce it. Suvrida Sarva Bhutanam. Krishna is the ever well wishing supreme friend of all living beings. One who understands these principles can attain real peace. Because the Jivatma is by nature Satchidananda. It is seeking pleasure. It is seeking ecstasy. The art of living is understand how to actually experience the ecstasy that the soul is longing for. And that is to understand who is God, who am I, what is material nature, and what is my relationship with God and material nature. How we're being entangled by the karmic conditions of our activities. And how time is affecting our lives imperceptibly at every moment. Krishna tells in Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viti tatvata tyaktva deham punara janma naiti mameti surjana. So simple. One who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities when I descend in this world never has to take birth in this material world again, but attains my abode. To understand our relationship with Krishna is Rajavidya Rajaguyam Pavitramitamuttamam. It is the king of knowledge. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is the highest of all intelligence. And it gives complete satisfaction to the self. Krishna teaches us how we can experience Him at every moment, even in this life. Rasoham apsukonteya prabhasmi shashishuyaya puranava sarva vedeshu shabdike purushashu. Krishna says, I am the taste of water. Water is the essence of all liquid. How many times a day do we drink water? What is the power that water has? It quenches our thirst. When you're really thirsty, severely thirsty, you suffer. If you're a multimillionaire and somehow or other you're stranded in the desert and you haven't drank water for many days, the only thought on your mind is water. Yes? If someone offers you a brand new Mercedes-Benz or a beautiful home in Seaface Worley, or a beautiful man or woman to enjoy, what will you say? You will say, give me water. You will give your entire fortune away for a glass of water. Because water quenches our thirst and sustains our life. Who has provided that water? Aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartite. Krishna says, I am the source of everything that exists, all material and spiritual worlds. Even the greatest technologists in the scientific laboratories, they may be able to make rocket ships that fly around the world and even try to go to the moon, but they can't make a drop of water. And whatever facilities they have to make anything are given by God. The minerals of the earth. Krishna is supplying everything. So when we quench our thirst to sustain our lives and get that satisfaction, if we simply remember Krishna is the taste of the water, then we are Krishna conscious. We are God conscious. Pravashmi Shashishuryo. Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon. The sun is over our head throughout the day, and the moon is over our head throughout the night. What is the quality of the sun and the moon? The sun dispels darkness. Where there is darkness, there is fear. If you are in the pitch dark, it's a very fearful situation. You don't know who's around you. You don't know where you're going. Darkness is equated to ignorance. Ignorance means you do not know. But the sun and the moon dispel that darkness. And actually, what is electricity? It is simply indirect sunlight. That's all. Coal or whatever materials we're using to produce electricity is given its power, it's given its energy by the sun. The light of the sun is penetrating the earth and putting its energy in various elements of the earth. And by certain types of scientific manipulation, we can extract the energy in the sun. And that's how we have these lights today. So all light is due to the sun. So Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon. So simple. When we see light, we simply acknowledge the reality that this is Krishna. Both water and sunlight sustain our lives at every moment. If you don't have enough water in your body, you die. I'm not a medical academic scholar, but I've heard the word dehydration. No water, death. Misery and death. Without the sun, we die. So just be conscious of the reality. When you drink water, or when you see light, that it is Krishna who is providing it. It is Krishna who is manifesting Himself through His mercy in these forms to sustain me. In this way we remember Krishna. And what we associate with, we become like that. The simple example that is used is when you put a rod of iron in fire, the rod becomes fire due to association. This is not my opinion. This is not a sectarian religious idea. This is the laws of nature and the laws of God, that what you associate with, you take on those qualities. And if you do not believe, our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada gave a challenge to us. If you do not believe that that iron rod that has been in fire for long duration of time is not fire, then you touch it to your eyes. We challenge you. And what will happen if you touch it to your eyes? Or touch it with any part of your body? You will be burnt as if you put fire right in your eyes. Because we become what we associate with. Bajahure mana Srinandanandana Abhayat sharanara vindare Dulabamana vajanama satsange Taraha evavo sindare. This is the prayer of one great acharya. My dear mind, please, please, always remember the son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Krishna. Engage in his loving service. Why? Because this human life is so rare. It is the precious opportunity for liberation from suffering, liberation from birth and death, an entrance into the eternal realm of love. But what is the rarest, most priceless gift in this entire human life? The opportunity to associate with saintly people. Sadhu Sangam. In the association of saintly people, Machchita matkata prana bodhyanta parasparam katyantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. The topics of Krishna are being spoken. We speak about the real virtues and values of life. In the association of devotees of the Lord, we chant the names of the Lord. We are inspired to engage in the service of the Lord. And in that association, we become saintly. Sadhu sanga, sarvastas shastra koi. Lava matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoy. All scriptures declare, even one moment's association with real sadhu, we can transcend the ocean of material existence and attain the highest perfection. Real intelligence within this human life is how and what and who we choose to associate with. As parents, many of you know that this is a great concern for your children. They are easily influenced by their surroundings. If they associate with children who are very, very mischievous, drink smoking cigarettes, taking drugs and alcohol, engaging in immoral activities, then what will become of your little impressionable child? If your child associates with pious, spiritually minded children, then the road to the greatest opportunity is open before them. And in this sense, we are all children. We are all so much influenced by the society that we keep around us. Therefore, to associate with the devotees of the Lord is directly to associate with the Lord Himself. Krishna is pavitra. He is all pure. Therefore, by associating with Krishna, we become purified. Thus, Krishna tells us, janma karma cha me divyam evam yoviti tatvata. Tyaktvadeham punarjanma naiti mameti sarja. By understanding the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, what happens? You become purified due to association with God. Krishna makes himself especially accessible through the holy name. Krishna tells, pranava sarva vedeshu shabdake purushandrishu. I am the sacred syllable Om. Krishna is none different than his name. Nam nama kauri bahota nita sarva shaktis. Lord Chaitanya taught that all the powers, potencies, all the sweetness and beauty of Krishna is within his name. And this is not a sectarian ideology, because the Absolute Truth has many names. In the various religious systems of the world, the names of God are revealed. And in each and every one of those authorized names that have descended into this world, Krishna is manifesting himself. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana. The name of God is not like any word of this world. It has descended from the spiritual world. Kalikale Namarupe Krishnavatar. Krishna has incarnated in his name. If you chant water, 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 you will not quench your thirst. But if you chant Krishna, 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 hey, you will quench your eternal thirst of the soul. Devotees sometimes can chant the holy names for hours and hours every day of their whole life. And as we're chanting the name of the Lord, what is the scientific process that is taking place? Cheto darapana marajanam bhavamaha devagni nirvapanam. Because Krishna is all pure. The name of Krishna cleanses the heart by our association with him.
We were describing how the drop of water falls from the cloud and becomes very much polluted by the mud of the three modes of material nature. That mud manifests as our desires, our aspirations, and our egoistic concerns within this world. How? How to bring water to its purified state again? Here in Bombay, many people have water purifiers in their homes, or they buy the various brands of purified water because they know that the common water is quite polluted. Not only polluted by all kinds of mud and bacterias and diseases. You can get cholera by drinking the warm water. Many years ago, on my way to India, I passed through the country of Turkey. And everybody I met said, do not go through Turkey. Because in all the newspapers throughout Europe, front page, it was the most terrible epidemic of cholera of the century. Thousands of people were dying and suffering. But I wanted to come to your homeland so much that I hitchhiked through Turkey. But they told me, don't drink water, because cholera is a water communicative disease. Yes? And typhoid, so many diseases, dysentery. So people who do not want to catch these various waterborne diseases, they do various things. Some people just put tons of chlorine chemicals in the water to just kill those diseases. Not evil. But then all those chemicals just create more complicated diseases. Cancer and so many other things like that. How do you go? So this is human society. Through artificial means, we're trying to solve our problems. But Prahlad Maharaj tells us in Srimad Bhagavatam, every time you try to solve a material problem with a material solution, you create a bigger problem. You do solve the immediate problem, but then in the long run, you're creating monstrous problems. Look at the ecological condition of the world today. The ozone is deteriorating. Global warming. According to geologists, this global warming, if something is not done soon to stop all this pollution, what will happen? The solar ice caps will melt and the oceans will rise. I can see the ocean right from here. We are now Bombay, but we may become simply a bay. If something is not done, but how is this happening? Because within our Kali Yuga way of dealing with things, we're trying to solve certain immediate inconveniences and problems, and we're creating all kinds of chemical pollutions and so many other things that we're creating bigger problems. So therefore, people get water purifiers. No more chemicals, no more muddy bacterial diseases. I will just drink purified water and be healthy. Do all of you agree with that idea? Well, the condition of our consciousness is we need to purify it. We have so many bacterias of envy, lust, pride, anger, greed, and illusion. And those bacterias are putting us in a diseased condition and impelling us to act in various ways that we are incriminating ourselves with more and more and more karmic bondage. For what? For the same thing that bird is doing, just eating the same old food for a little bit of enjoyment. And the door is open for freedom. When we chant the holy names of the Lord, it has an effect of purifying our consciousness in a natural, holistic way. Bringing our consciousness back to its original quality. God is good. Mamayavam so, jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are all part of God. We are all good. God is Sachidananda Vigraha. As part of God, we are eternal, we are full of knowledge, and we are full of bliss. Why should we suffer? Why birth and death over and over again? The kingdom of God is within our own hearts, but we're looking everywhere else except for where it actually is. When we chant the holy names of the Lord, we are associating with the Lord. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is addressing the divine energy of the Lord, Hare. Hare is Sri Radha, the pleasure potency of the Lord, the original energy of the Lord that is the source of all other energies. It is through her grace that we can actually be engaged in the eternal loving service of the Lord. And Krishna, Rama, our names which denote that Krishna is all attractive. He is the ultimate object of everyone's love and pleasure. He is the reservoir of all pleasure. By this chanting of God's names, personally, we chant this Maha Mantra because according to the Kali Santarana Upanishad, in this age of Kali, it is the most appropriate medicine to clean the hearts. When we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, we are directly in the presence of Radha and Krishna. We become purified. And our natural state of consciousness is awakened to love God unconditionally. And while in this world, to be an instrument of God's compassion to all living beings without discrimination. That is the irresistible nature of the pure soul. And only that state can bring real happiness. This world is not false. It is temporary. We do not want to reject the things of this world. Those who are on Pravritti Marg, they want to take the property of God as their own. And those on Nivritti Marg want to renounce everything because they know it's not theirs.
But the highest path, the most inclusive path of yoga, is to understand how to properly utilize everything for its proper purpose according to our eternal nature. This body is God's temple. It is not your body. If it was your body, you would have control over it. You would say, "Body, I order you, do not grow old. Obey." And then you think, you see, I'm not getting old. But in due course of time, you realize the body is not obeying. "Body, do not be diseased. I command you." "Mind, shut up." Tell your mind that. And see for how long the mind will keep quiet. So you're not controlling. That means it is not your property. It is being controlled by the three modes of material nature. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. And Krishna says that this is His nature. He is the controller of all the modes of material nature, ultimately. Maya is His external inferior energy. So we are not controllers. But still, we want to find pleasure in this body. But we can't really do it. So Nivritti Marg, we renounce. I don't want anything to do with anything of this world. I will go to Himalayas and enter into a cave. But still, you're breathing. And still, you have to find water. And for some yogis who are not so highly elevated, they have to eat something. So we're still dependent. Palugu Vairagya means to renounce something that can be properly utilized for the service of God and the welfare of others. Yukta Vairagya is complete renunciation. I have this body. It is God's temple. Let me utilize it according to its real natural purpose. And the things that we somehow or other have some temporary control over, our wealth, our possessions, our intelligence, our abilities. Why should we give these things up? Even our family members, why should we renounce them? We should understand what is my relationship with Krishna, what is their relationship with Krishna, and utilize them accordingly. This is the teachings of Sri Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was family man, and he had his occupational duty as a warrior. Krishna did not tell him, "Give it up and go to Himalayan jungles." He told him, "You stay right here in Kurukshetra and you perform your duty." He didn't tell him, "Work is worship." He told him how to worship as an expression of your work. If the subject of Gita is work is worship, one sloka, Krishna could have finished the entire Gita. But he spoke over 700 slokas to teach us how to work in such a way that it is worship.
Yad karoshi yad asnashi yad juhoshi dadasi yad yatta paswasi kantaya tat kurushvam adarpanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, everything should be done as an offering to the Supreme Lord.
Jagyaratart kamanon yatra lokumam karma bandana.
Krishna said, whatever work you do should be done as an offering of sacrifice to the Supreme. Otherwise, any other type of work is a cause of bondage.
Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati.
Such a simple formula Krishna gives. If you offer me even a leaf, a fruit, or a little water with devotion, I will accept it. Whether we are rich or poor, whether we are educated or uneducated, whether we were born in a very prestigious family or born in the streets of Bombay, there is no qualification or disqualification by these material standards. The only criteria that is required is whatever we do it in a spirit of devotion and offer it to God. You can have your family, you can have your occupation, but how to have Krishna in the center? That is the essential understanding we must come to and practice it. We offer our food to Krishna. Why? Do you think Krishna needs our food? Krishna is supplying food since time immemorial to every living being that exists. The elephant eats 100 kilos of food a day. And he doesn't work in factory. He doesn't have an office at Nariman Point. God is supplying every day for the elephant. You don't see starving elephants in the jungle. Krishna is supplying. So do you think he needs food from us? But when you take water from the Ganga, Ganga doesn't need your water. It's her water. But if you offer it in a spirit of devotion, she will be forever indebted to you because it is offered with love. The essence of spirituality is love. And the perfection of love is the love between the soul and Krishna. It is both the goal and the means of attaining the goal. This is the glory of the path of bhakti. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, was asked, what do you hope to attain by chanting Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada said, our goal is to eternally chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Now we are chanting the holy name to cleanse our hearts, to liberate us from material entanglement, and to taste the sweetness of pure love, spiritual love. And the goal we will achieve is to chant forevermore in this world and in the spiritual world as an expression of our pure, unadulterated, ecstatic love. This is the great opportunity that we have in this human form of life. In the association of devotees, by hearing the glories of the Lord, by chanting the names of the Lord, and by orienting our life
very sincerely in such a way that it is pleasing to Krishna. We can achieve Anandam Buddhivaradanam Pradipatam Punam Ratasvadanam, the happiness that we are all longing for since time immemorial. What greater treasure is there in this world? Even in the Christian Bible, it is said by Lord Jesus Christ, don't make your treasure in this world. Because in this world, your treasure will be corroded by rust and elements, or it will be stolen by thieves. The powers of time will take everything away from you. So why invest all this precious, valuable human energy for that which will be lost? Neha bikramanasosti pratyavayo navidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. But any endeavor we make on the path of bhakti, the path of devotion, is eternal because it is spiritual.